Hey, we're going to Ephesians 5:18. We'll look at a couple of the verses today, and of course, as always, I'll refer to a number of them, but one verse that we're just going to begin with on this Sunday, Ephesians 5:18. Hallelujah. It says there, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." Tell somebody close to you, be filled with the Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. I pray for more of you, an increase of you. You said, Lord Jesus, that John the Baptist was the greatest man to live, and he said that he needed to decrease so that you could increase. So, Lord God, how much more we ask for less of us and more of you. Fill us. Fill us with your fullness. Fill us with more of you. Fill us with your Spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Church, would you pray with me, Lord? Fill me with your fullness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Paul writes those words to the church in Ephesus where he challenges them. He encourages them as apostle, as a church planter. He encourages them. And he really goes to two different sides of things when he encourages them, where he's telling them to not be excessive. He specifically refers to wine, but it could go beyond anything that was a thing of the world to really fit in there. He's saying, don't be excessive with the things of the world, but by all means, be excessive with the things of God. Don't be excessive with what will ruin your life, what will take away from your walk with God. But if it's of God and God's fullness, then all the more so you want to be filled up with what's right. And specifically, he says, to be filled with the Spirit. I did not grow up in church. I went a few times when I was a kid. We went some, but started attending church. I mentioned I got saved as a teenager. And I remember one of my very first Sundays in church when I came, there was a woman on the keyboard. Her name was Karen Fox, in fact, and she was over on the keyboard. And during the song service, she began to praise. In the 8:30 service, I offered to sing a song on the keyboard, and they didn't want me to do it, I don't think. Do you guys want me to do it?
Yes!
No. Do you really want me to do it? Do you think I can do it?
Yes!
They turned it off. They turned it off. My wife's saying, please, no, they really did turn it off. It was on at 8:30. They must have known I was going to do this again. Yes. She was over there on the keyboard. I only know a few chords. I can't really play much of anything. So, and she was there. And during the song service, she began to praise in another language. And I'd never heard that before. And when the service was done, I went and asked an individual, what country is the lady from who plays the keyboard? And fortunately, they didn't laugh at me. They told me what it was. They said, they said she's from Baltimore. That's kind of another country, right? Yeah, it's kind of another country. That's it. They said she's from Baltimore, and but she was not singing in a language that she had learned. She was singing in a heavenly language that God had given her when she was filled with the Spirit, a prayer language that God had given her that so many of us in here have received as well. And I believe that God wants to give to all of us. Amen. Amen. And it was the start of my learning about Pentecost. And they showed me when I was in church in the scriptures what it meant to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, being filled with the Spirit, as Paul mentions in Ephesians, first shows up in the scriptures in the book of Acts, where Jesus, when he had resurrected, before he ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples that they were to go to Jerusalem, where they were to wait for the promise of the Father. And he was talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. What is today's date? You guys are doing better than 8:30, but you're cheating. Now, the Bible says that they waited for 10 days before the filling of the Spirit came. 10 days. And today is June 23rd. That means I'm not going to let you out of here until June 33rd. We're going to stay here until June 33rd, since they were there, since it's the 10 days they waited in that place, and they prayed and they sought God. And the Bible says that on the 10th day there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind, and that tongues of fire came down and were lit upon them, and they all spoke in tongues, they all spoke in another language, as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was fire on that occasion, because God has always done that in endorsing his new place where his Spirit will dwell. When Moses first dedicated the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the Bible says when they first offered their sacrifices at that dedication, dedication, that fire fell down and consumed those sacrifices. Now, as they continued to sacrifice at the tabernacle in years to come, fire did not continue to fall. Fire was a way of God showing that this is where his presence was now dwelling. It was his endorsement upon that as his place. When Solomon then built the temple and they dedicated the temple, on its dedication when sacrifices were offered, the Bible says fire fell down and consumed the sacrifices on the temple on that day as well. And again, while they would continue to sacrifice at the temple for years to come, fire would not continue to fall. Fire fell on that first occasion. It was God's way of showing, this is where my spirit now dwells in this place. And on the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church was formed and those believers were gathered in the other upper room, there was fire on that day as well. And it was God's way of saying that he would no longer dwell in buildings built by the hands of men, but he would now live in us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are his temple today. So we don't see fire anymore when we gather, if you will, that would come as we did on that day, just as you didn't in the temple and just as you didn't in the tabernacle. The fire is simply God's endorsement from the beginning that this is where his spirit now dwells. And yet the gift of language continues to be given to us to this day, and the Bible teaches us that as well. These guys on that day, they were gathered and tongues of fire came and they began praying in other languages, and people who were there heard them praising God in languages they had never learned. And apparently they got a little carried away because folks who were in Jerusalem at that time and they heard and saw what was going on and they thought they were drunk. They thought they were drunk. Now, how many of you have been around in a Pentecostal full gospel church for a little while? Have you ever noticed that sometimes people act a little crazy? You can be honest. Come on. We're at church. Come on. People act a little crazy at church sometimes, don't we? Don't we act a little crazy? Sometimes it's like you're scared to say it. Yeah. I don't mean at this church. I'm talking about other churches. But anyway, some act a little crazy. And when the Spirit fell, they started acting in ways, if you will, that people thought, man, these guys are crazy. What's going on in this occasion? It happens still to this day, because sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, sometimes when we just think about what God has done in our lives, we can't help but get a little carried away. Come on. Is it just me and my sister over here? Is there anybody else in here that that's true over? Sometimes you can't help but get a little bit too happy. Sometimes you can't help but get a little bit too excited. Sometimes you forget how you're supposed to act at church, and you get a little carried away in that moment. Now, we know that when we're in the house of God, we ought not try to take over the service or be a distraction, and yet that doesn't change the fact that sometimes when you've been forgiven of a lot, when God has healed you, you can't help but get a little excited. If you don't know what it's like to get excited over being forgiven, then maybe you haven't been forgiven of as much junk as I've been forgiven of, because I had to be forgiven of a whole lot of junk. Hello. Anybody else in here who needed a whole lot of grace? I know some of you didn't need too much grace. You were good on your own. But I needed a whole lot of grace. I need for it to keep on flowing and pouring out on me. Amen? A whole lot of grace. A whole lot of forgiveness in order to that. So sometimes we get a little carried away when that happens, of course. We don't fault people when that happens in other settings. We would only think that if it happens at church. If you were watching Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right or whatever else, and somebody was on Price is Right and they spun the big wheel and it stopped on the green number and they won $1,000, what do they do when that happens? What do? They start jumping and dancing around. Nobody's like, you shouldn't act like that on game shows. You shouldn't act like that on game shows. No, we don't think that. In fact, I got a little clip from a game show I'm going to show you. I want to show you how this woman, I'm sure, is probably very, very polished on most occasions, but she's on this game show where three balls are going to drop down these chutes, and wherever they land in, that's how much money that she gets to win here.
You knew you couldn't go lower than zero. You played those over six. It was a very smart play, and now it is my pleasure to hopefully reward you with a lot of money. Let's drop them.
The three balls are going to fall.
Watch her again.
Yeah,
watch
finally.
Her again in slow motion.
Finally!
acting a little crazy? She's acting a little crazy, but do we think bad of her? Why do we not think bad of her? She just won $1.4 million. Nobody would be like, stop acting like that. Calm down. Why are you acting like that along the way? So when the Holy Spirit moves, when God moves in our lives, if you ever see somebody get a little too happy at church, sometimes, again, it's just because God has done so much in their life, they can't help it. And on the day of Pentecost, it happened in people's lives. People, again, they thought they were drunk. They said, why are these guys acting this way and along the way? But because of that, and because when the Spirit falls and when people are filled with the Spirit, sometimes our reaction can get a little carried of your way. Because of that, I have encountered along the way folks who love to attend a Pentecostal church. They love to attend a full gospel church. They love the worship. They love the preaching. They love the church itself, the people. They like all of that about it. And yet, they don't really want the Holy Spirit in their lives. They say, well, I like church. I like all this. I want some of this Jesus that you guys talk about. But I don't know about this Holy Spirit that you talk about, because I don't know if I want to start shaking and jumping around and acting like that. And they're afraid they might start acting that way if that happens in their lives. And I've encountered this along the way. I've had people come out and verbally say it to me. I've said, wouldn't you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? They're like, oh no, I love Jesus, but I don't know about that. People get crazy when they get that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to start jumping around and falling down and all this. But that's a misunderstanding about the things of God, because the Holy Spirit does not make us act any certain way when he comes upon us anyway. That's our own emotions, our own selves reacting to the work of God in our lives. Nobody will get to stand before God and say the devil made him do something, and nobody will get to stand before God and say the Holy Spirit made him do something. The Bible is very clear in teaching that when I stand before God, the only person given an account for the deeds done in this body is who? Me. I give an account for the deeds done in my body. So people respond according to their own personalities and how happy they are and what God has done and all of that. And we react to the moving of the Spirit in our lives and in different ways. And that happens in our lives along the way. But see, you would never want it to be that you would say, no, I don't know if I want the Holy Spirit moving in my life because I don't want to act like that. That would be a terrible mistake. I've also encountered some folks before in church who say, you know, I've been in church a long time and I've seen a lot of phony stuff in church. That happens in church, right? I've seen some phony stuff in church. I've seen a lot of false stuff go on in church. I've seen people who just acted foolish on their own, or I've seen, you know, prophecies given or different things given that I knew were fake. They weren't of God. Say, I heard somebody and they weren't prophesying. They were prophelying or whatever you want to call it, and it was going on. And you say, you know, because of that, I don't know if I really want anything to do with that Holy Ghost stuff. I want Jesus. I'm good with Jesus, but I don't know about the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I really want to be a part of that altogether. And I've seen that in people in their lives as well along the way. But we don't think that in other areas of our lives. Sister Joan over here, she works at the bank. You ever have any counterfeit money come through the bank? No? Not you? Come on, you know you make that counterfeit money at the bank. Tell the truth. No, she said not that she's seen. But there is counterfeit money. We know there's such a thing as counterfeit money. It's really out there, and you could end up with it. But when you get paid, when you get your check, you don't say, well, I don't want to cash this because I'm scared I might get some of that counterfeit money. You would never say that. Nobody says, well, I need some cash. Well, why don't you get some money from the ATM? Now, that's kind of risky. What if one of the bills came out was counterfeit? You would never say that. You still want what's real, even though there's something out there that's fake, right? You know there's counterfeit money, but don't you still want what's real?
Yes.
Let me see you. Who wants what's real? Yes. Look at all these people who came to church just want money, raising their hand in church. I can see it. Yeah, you still want what's real, even though there's something out there that's fake. So just because in your own experience you have witnessed or encountered something where you thought, well, that's not really God, you don't want to then not want what's real because you've experienced that in your lives. Come on, we want the things of God. The Bible tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Paul's word here to the church in Ephesus. And you don't want to miss out on that. And you don't want it to be, if you will, that you miss out on it because you would say, well, I just kind of want a mild-mannered God, or I kind of want to be in control. I don't really know if I want God to take over my life too much. It seems too risky. You know, the Bible says when it speaks of Jesus, it says that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. What animal does it refer to Jesus as? A lion. And if we're not careful, we could want Jesus to be more of a kitten. We could say, well, you know, I like kitten Jesus better than lion Jesus. I want a cute little Jesus that I can keep in my pocket and I could take him out to show him to people if I want to. But if he gets a little carried away, I could put him away and say, stop it. And I could stay in control. I don't know if I want lion Jesus. I want kitten Jesus. I don't want God to be too strong, to take over too much. But I want to show you who Jesus is really quick. I want to read through a passage with you from Revelation chapter number 19, 11 through 16. Revelation 19 through 16 says this, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. So who's on the horse? Jesus is on the horse. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. And I think I'm actually missing a part of this from the verse in the slide. I'm sorry. I caught that in the early service and forgot to fix it. Followed upon white horses. It says, he was clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you realize what that description of Jesus is like? Jesus has fire eyes. Jesus has a sword coming out of his mouth. Jesus' clothes are dipped in blood. Jesus has tattoos on his legs. Hello. Jesus is a rough-looking character. He doesn't look like he could be in the Bee Gees. He doesn't look like what we would picture. He's not kitten Jesus. Jesus is a lion. He is mighty. He rules an army is who he is. That's who Jesus is. Amen? When Jesus was leaving, he said that he would send another comforter. The Holy Spirit comes in power also as one who wants to rule and reign in our lives, praise God. He is a consuming fire. And receiving the Holy Spirit as a consuming fire, that doesn't mean that I have to act crazy at church, if you will, but it does mean that God wants to empower you to live the Christian life to the fullest. And I want to encourage you today. I want to challenge you today to desire all that God has for you in your life, to go all out in your walk with God, to want everything that God has for you, not some of God, but not all of it, but to want everything, to be filled with the fullness of God. Paul says, don't be excessive with the things of this world, but by all means, be excessive with the things of God. Amen? Be excessive with the things of God. I looked up the word excessive when I was preparing for today. I did a quick internet search for excessive, and look at the wonderful hits that popped up first. Excessive gas, excessive sweating, excessive thirst, excessive burping, excessive urination, excessive yawning, excessive sleeping, excessive saliva, and excessive flatulence. Would you agree with me that we want none of those? None of those. That is not what we want. But we do want to be excessive in the things of God. In the things of God. I want to challenge you today to be excessive in your worship. Being excessive doesn't mean to be out of order, but it does mean to be passionate. To be passionate in your worship. Be passionate in your pursuit of God. Be passionate in your worship at church. Be passionate in your worship in your life. Am I the only one in here who has church in their car sometimes? Hello. Anybody other than me have church in the car? Come on, I see somebody waving at me. Sometimes I get home, I can't even get out of the car because church ain't done yet. I'm still having church in the car, amen? I mean, the worship service is still going on. I can't even turn it off yet. I just got to sit there. I'm like, no. God's still moving. I'm still in here. Be excessive in your worship wherever you are. And again, that doesn't mean, sometimes it will mean getting carried away. Hello. Sometimes it will mean getting carried away. And yet at the same time, we still keep things in order. We understand we're in a public setting, and we keep, when you're by yourself, you can do whatever you want. I come in here by myself and worship. I can bounce around and do anything I want to do. I don't have to worry about anybody. But we understand we're in a group setting, that we keep a degree of order. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves, right? I don't try to draw attention to me in worship. I want to draw attention to God in worship. We had a woman in our church in Yonkers. She would get a little carried away in worship, a little too much. And I talked to her one time, and I was like, I know you're excited, but you got to settle down just a little bit. And then we had church a couple of weeks later, and a woman came over to her and tried to calm her down some. And I watched her. I was on the stage. I watched her ball her fist up, take a swing at the other lady. I'm not making that up. It was like a Mike Tyson move. And Sister Elizabeth was who's trying to start. Elizabeth had to duck it. I was like, oh my goodness. I had to come off the platform. I said, what are you doing? She said, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. I'm like, you took a swing at her. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different kind of spirit. So we keep control of ourselves, obviously. But at the same time, we want to be passionate. And if somebody thinks I get a little too happy or you get a little too happy, sometimes that's just going to happen. Hello. Because sometimes God's been so good to you. I'd rather you get a little too happy than you just sit there like an old prune and do nothing. Hello. I'd rather you get a little too happy than you look like you drank lemon juice and ate briars for breakfast or something. Right? I'll take a little shouting and dancing over that any day. Hello. I got the right crowd, right? Come on, let's be excessive in our worship. And there was this guy outside of the temple, and Peter's coming in on the time of prayer, and when he comes up to him, he's calling out for money. Alms, alms. It's a benevolent gesture to give him this gift, and Peter doesn't have any money with him. And he came in, and they didn't have an app back then. If you came today and you have no money, we say you could give through the app. Peter said, you could give through the disciple app. He didn't have the app. He said, he came up and said, alms. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Silver and gold have I none. Can you imagine if he said, can't you give it to me through the app? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's what he did. But you know what he did then? He went into the temple then. He went into the temple. Now, if you read about the temple in the Old Testament, it is a polished place. It is men in long robes with big hats and stones all over their chest and staffs and proper order and structure, and everything is done a certain way, very polished looking. This guy goes in the temple, and you know how he goes in the temple? Like this. Says he went running and leaping and praising God. And you know there was somebody like, we don't act like that at church. What is wrong with you? Don't act like that at church. He was like, you don't understand. I was lame, and now I walk. I can't help it. I can't help but act like that sometimes. Sometimes you just get a little carried away. Amen? And he did that, praise God. Come on, celebrate Christ. Be excessive in your worship. Let me keep moving today. I want to encourage you to be excessive in your love for God. Be excessive in your love for God. The Bible tells us to love God with how much of our heart? With how much of our mind? With how much of our strength? With how much of our soul? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love the God with everything you've got. Love God with everything. God doesn't want to be in a church box. God doesn't want to be someone we love at church. God wants to be loved with every aspect of our being. Be excessive in your love for God. Be excessive in your love for the body of Christ as well, for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Being excessive in my love for the body of Christ means there are going to be times where I'm going to have to forgive my brothers and sisters in Christ and things. And sometimes you're going to have to forgive me. Come on, right? Because we love each other. Love covers a multitude of sin. And it doesn't justify sin or wrongdoing. But we're excessive in our love. And when the New Testament was written more than once, the New Testament believers were written words that say things like, bear with one another in love in the church. Words like that don't even make any sense unless the Holy Spirit knew that after we got saved, sometimes we were going to irritate each other. Are you with me? That's the only way that makes sense. Because if we were all just going to sit around hugging, singing kumbaya, then that doesn't need to be in the Bible. The only reason that verse would be there would be if somewhere along the way you were going to get on my nerves. That's the only way that verse applies. That we would annoy each other. That somebody would bother me. That's bearing with one another in love. We keep on loving each other anyway. The Bible tells us to do good unto everybody, but especially unto the household of faith. When we're excessive in our love for the body of Christ, then we go all out for each other. We're there for each other. We show our love for each other. And I want to encourage you to be. And to be excessive in your love for the lost as well. Be excessive in your love for the lost. People need Jesus. Amen? People need Jesus. Pray for them. Let God use you to reach them. Ask God to give you a heart for the lost, to see people the way He sees them. It's too easy to go through the day and sometimes just see people as in the way or a burden, but that's not how Jesus saw them. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Be excessive in your love for the lost. Let me keep moving. I want to challenge you as well to be excessive in your hunger. Be excessive in your hunger for God. Be excessive in your hunger for the things of God. My wife and I raised sons. We never had a daughter. We have a niece that's at the hospital right now having a baby. We're excited about that. We didn't have any girls growing up, just boys. My sons were like hungry from the moment they came out of my wife until today. They're still hungry. I'm convinced of it. They never stopped being hungry. Anybody else raised sons? Anybody else is a son? They ate all. There were times where it was just like it was ridiculous. It was like you come in, you know, it's like stop eating all the food. Yes. Because they would just eat everything. They're just eating all the time when they were gone. I can remember my sons when they were like teenagers. My wife and I come in. It's like a Friday night. We go to bed. I wake up. It's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I wake up. But I wake up because of the smell of food. I come stumbling down the stairs to the kitchen. My sons are in there like frying chicken and making stuff. I'm like, what in the world are you doing? We're hungry. I was like, are you crazy? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Stop eating. We're hungry. Be hungry for the things of God. Be hungry for the things of God. I heard someone say one time, if you go a week without reading your Bible, you shouldn't feel guilty, but you ought to feel hungry. You ought to feel hungry because it's your nourishment. It's what feeds you. Be hungry for the things of God. You know, if I can go long spans of time and not read my Bible or pray or anything and I don't feel hungry, it must be that I'm filling myself with junk food. You can figure out that application. I must be filling myself up with the wrong stuff because otherwise I should be hungry if I'm not getting full of the things of God. Hunger for the things of God. Be excessive in your hunger for the things of God. And then last, before I want to pull this together and pray over us, I want to challenge you to be excessive in your faith. Be excessive in your faith. Believe for the impossible in your life. Follow God fully. Peter was on the shore mending his nets one day. Peter is not a fisherman who stands at the shore with a pole catching fish as a hobby. He's a commercial fisherman. He has boats. He has guys who work with him. This is his livelihood. Peter is at the shore one day mending his nets when Jesus walks up and says, Peter, follow me. And the Bible says he left his nets at the shore and followed Jesus. Come on, that's radical faith. It's radical faith to walk off the job. Hello. Now don't do it unless God called you to do it. Jesus told him to do it. If you just walk out on your own, you might be stuck. Yeah, but Jesus told him, he walked out. But do you know later, when Peter is on a boat on another occasion, and Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he walks on the water. And I know he sunk, and we know that part, but let's be for real. The guy walked on water. He's the only person who ever did it other than Jesus himself. He still got out and walked on it. If he doesn't leave the nets, he doesn't get to walk on water. That never happens. He was excessive in his faith. He went all out. And there are times when you read through the Gospels where Peter comes across as a little crazy. He says stuff and does stuff. You're like, man, what are you thinking? But for one thing's for sure, the guy went all out. He was all in. He was like all or nothing. Everything. Everything is God's. He was excessive in his faith and living for him. And I want to challenge you to be as well. God's not a just enough God. He's a more than enough God. He wants to give us more than enough. He wants us to be filled to overflowing in our lives. He wants us to be filled with his fullness. He doesn't tell us to get some of the Spirit. He tells us to be filled with the Spirit. He wants us to be excessive in the things of God, but not the things of earth. And I challenge you, don't settle. Don't settle for some of God, but not all of God. Don't say, well, I have enough of God, but I don't want to get too crazy. Get a little crazy for God if you need to. Better to be a little crazy for God than miss out on what God has for you. Come on, we're Pentecostals. Hello. Amen. I need more amens than that to that line. We're Pentecostals. We're Pentecostal believers. We believe in the fullness of the Spirit. We know that God wants to be a part of every aspect of our lives. I'm down the hill one time at the deli down the street from my house. I might have told this before. I can't recall. And there was this deli down the street from my house when I lived in New York. And everybody in there called me Rev. I never told them to call me Rev. They just all called me Rev. And there was this guy who worked in there. He was probably about 20 years old. And I'll never forget the day he found out I was a pastor. I don't know what he thought Rev meant, but he found out I was a pastor one day. He says to me at the counter, he was ringing up my coffee. He goes, Rev, you're a pastor? And I was like, yeah. And then he asked me the same question that I get asked almost every single time someone finds out I'm a pastor. You might not know what it is, but when I say I'm a pastor to people, the vast majority of the time, this is the first question that follows every single time. You're a pastor? Yes. Of a church? That's what they always say. Always. Of a church? I've never done it, but I so bad want to one time say, no, I have this big field and there's some sheep in it and I wear a robe with the staff and I'm like, yes, of a church. What do you think I'm a pastor of? of a church. He says to me, he says, Rev, what kind of church? I said, it's a Christian church. He goes, yeah, but what kind of Christian church? And our church in New York was also a part of the fellowship of the Assemblies of God of Churches, but I knew that wouldn't mean anything to him. He wouldn't know what that was. And I said, well, we're a Pentecostal church. And then he says, what does that mean? He didn't know anything. I was like, you don't know nothing. I didn't say that. Yeah. He said, well, what's a Pentecostal church? And in my quick moment to pull an answer, I said, well, when you read through the Bible, and you read about the things that happened in the Bible, all the supernatural things that happened and everything that God did, we believe God still does all that stuff today, that nothing ever changed. He said, I believe that too. I said, well, then you're a Pentecostal. Because we do believe that, amen? We believe that God still fills, that God still heals, that God's still moving, that God still does the miraculous, that none of that has ever changed. And sometimes in Pentecostal churches, there are people who love church and they love Jesus and they even believe that the Holy Spirit is still moving today and that He always has, but they don't want it. It's true. People end up in Pentecostal churches, they love the life of it, they love the passion of the worship, they love that we believe, and they say, I know it's true, but I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want that Holy Spirit stuff. I don't want to act like that. You pray for me, and I'll start shaking and fall down or something crazy will happen to me, and I don't want that. I want, because you know what? They want to stay in control. I don't want to lose control of anything. I'm scared of what might happen to me or whatever else. I want enough of God to get to heaven. I want enough of God to know that Jesus is my friend, but I don't want the lion. I want kitten Jesus. I need a God that I have a little better control of. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. The Holy Spirit comes in power, in fire. Consuming fire is how He comes. God wants all of us. And we need to want all of Him in our lives. Amen. Katie, would you come and help me? Would you come and help me at this time? Hallelujah. I want to ask if we could all stand. Just stay focused. Don't start packing up too fast. Hallelujah. Paul said this. He said, don't get drunk on wine. That'll ruin your life. He said, there's excess in that. The old KJV says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't be excessive in stuff that's going to get you nowhere. Be excessive in what matters, in the things of God. Be excessive in the Spirit. Be filled with the fullness of the Spirit was what His call was. Hallelujah. I want to pray today. I want to pray today for God to fill you with His Spirit. And many of us in this room, and perhaps even most of us in this room, we've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you joined us today and you're a guest or you're newer, and maybe you're like me, because when I came to church, I didn't know what that was. And you say, well, Pastor, what exactly are you talking about? Well, the Bible tells us that no one can come to the Father in a relationship with God the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So the Holy Spirit draws us to the Father through Jesus Christ. The only way to get to the Father is through the work that Jesus did. But it is the Holy Spirit, that feeling within you that draws you to God, that's the Holy Spirit that draws us, that tugs at our hearts. When you're in church ever and you feel like, wow, I need to respond to this or whatever else, that's usually not you. That's usually the Holy Spirit tugging at you, drawing you in that sense. So the Holy Spirit draws us to the Father through Jesus Christ. That's how we come to faith in Christ and how we get saved, how we become believers, how we're born again, if you will. It's through that work in our lives. And when we do that, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit at that moment takes up residence within us. He already lives inside of us. You can't be a believer without the Holy Spirit inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is there. But yet, although that is true, the Bible still teaches us that just like those believers on the day of Pentecost, that God still had something more for them as well. That God wanted them to experience what the Bible would call the fullness of the Spirit, or the baptism of the Spirit, where God would pour out upon us and He would fill us with more of Him, the fullness of the Spirit. It's a gift from Him. And you say, well, Pastor, how would I know when I get that? When you are filled with the fullness of God, when you're baptized with the Spirit, it comes with this other gift that you get, where God gives you a gift of language. Tongues, we call it at church. It's a gift of language, where you get a language that you can pray in or worship in when you talk to God. And it's a language that you never learned before. It's supernatural. It's supernatural that God gives it. Now, I've had people ask me over the years in church, say to me, Pastor, if I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, do I have to speak in tongues? And my answer to that has always been, no, you don't have to. You get to. You get to. Now, I know that might sound like a tricky answer, but you're asking the wrong question. If I bought my son a bicycle for Christmas, and he comes running down on Christmas morning, and here's the bicycle under the Christmas tree, and he turns and looks at me and says, do I have to ride it? I'd be like, what are you talking about? Do you have to ride it? You get to ride it. It's yours. You're saying it as if this is some negative, bad thing. But this is a positive, good thing. God wants to give you a gift. So I can't say, God, do I have? Yeah, God wants to give you. We want to receive from Him. We want to receive from Him. And when you pray and you ask God to fill you with His Spirit, when God fills you, it comes with this gift of language where we're able to pray and praise in a tongue that we have never learned. In just a moment, I'm going to pray over all of us. And when I do, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, I want to ask when that prayer is done that you just begin to pray in the Spirit in this room. All across this room, I just want you to begin to pray in the Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you've not been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you've not experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit in that moment, I want you to believe for God to fill you. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to begin to pray out in a language that you've never learned before as well. You say, well, Pastor, how will I know it's God? Will the Holy Spirit take control of my tongue and move it? No. That didn't happen on the day of Pentecost, and that won't happen now. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit didn't take over anybody. They spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. What does that mean? I mean, you're just going to know God's all over you, and by faith, you're just going to begin to speak out, and you don't even know what's going to come out of your mouth, but you're just going to believe that God's going to fill it. And God fills you and gives you. It might sound like a language you've heard before. It might not. I've heard some crazy languages over the years as I've traveled around the world. There's a lot of them. It could be a language of earth. It could be the Bible speaks of heavenly tongues or heavenly languages. It could be anything. But you speak out. When we get to that moment, I want to encourage you to believe for God to fill you in this moment, and for you to begin to pray out in another language as well. God's going to fill people all over this room this morning. In just a few moments, there are people in this room who have never been filled with the Holy Spirit who are going to be. It's going to happen in just a few moments from right now. You should be expecting it right now. There should be a sense of anticipation within you because it's about to come. If you're here today and you're saying, I don't know if I want that. Come on, if you want Jesus, you want the fullness of God. The fullness of God. Because the Bible says this. You say, is it for me? The Bible says the gift is for you. This is what He said on the day of Pentecost. For you. It's for your children. It's for your children's children. And for as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's for everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, right now I pray for everybody in the sound of my voice. Self included. Lord God, some of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit along the way. Right now we need a fresh outpouring. We need a fresh outpouring. We read in your word, Lord, of a time where the disciples were gathered together and they had already been filled, but your word says the place shook and you filled them again. I know, Lord God, sometimes we leak. Sometimes we leak and we need to be refilled, Lord God. We need some more of you, hallelujah. So I pray, Lord God, for all of us who have experienced the fullness of the Spirit, you've given us this gift already. I pray for a fresh outpouring from you right now. And I pray, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for any brother and sister of mine here today who has not experienced this gift, Lord God, I pray that you will grant it to them now, Lord God. I pray that they will speak out and you will fill their mouth with a language, Lord God. Spirit, that you will give the utterance all across this room in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you've been filled with the Spirit, would you just begin to pray out in tongues all across this room? Not shouting, just in your own prayer language. Not shouting, this is not tongues and interpretation of tongues, but in your own language. Come on, all across this room. Come on, keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in that heavenly language that God has given you. Keep lifting it up right now. Keep praying in the Spirit. I was 17 years old when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's a teenager in this room, but God wants to fill you with the Spirit right now. God wants to fill you with the Spirit right now. I want you right now to get your mind focused on Him, teenager. I want you to get your mind focused on Him and speak out and let the Spirit give you utterance right now as the Holy Spirit fills you. There's a young adult in here and you're a skeptic, you're a doubter. You're thinking, I don't know, this just seems crazy. You're right, the things of God sometimes do seem that way. I want you to believe by faith for the Word of God to be true and begin to speak out at this time, hallelujah. Somebody's been seeking the baptism for a long time you've not received. Come on, right now, God's filling. God's filling all across this room. You can tell God's all over you right now. You sense His presence all over you. Speak out. Speak out. Let Him fill you. Let Him fill you. Come on, if you're filled with the Spirit, keep praying in tongues. Keep praying in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit pray with you, pray through you. If you're filled with the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit pray through you right now. Hallelujah. You're still filling, Lord God. Come on, receive from Him right now. Receive from Him right now. Receive the fullness. Receive the fullness right now. Come on. Somebody in here, the Holy Spirit's all over you. He's right there. He's right there. You can tell. You feel Him all over you. He's right there. Right now is the time for you to speak out in faith. Come on, just speak out. Speak out. You say, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Well, that's up to God right there. You're going to let God fill your mouth. God's going to give you the tongue. You just begin to speak out. You say, well, I don't know what it's going to sound like. You don't have to know. The Spirit's going to give you utterance. The Spirit will give you utterance. Hallelujah. Speak out. We want more of you, God. We want more of you. We want an increase of your fullness. A fresh touch, fresh power upon your church, I pray, Lord God. Give us power to be witnesses, Lord God. Give us your fullness, Lord God. All that is of you. We love you with all we've got. We want all that is of you in our lives, Lord God. Right now, I come against doubt and fear and the flesh in the name of Jesus. I pray liberty in the Spirit right now, Lord God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I pray liberty right now. Freedom over everyone in this room right now, Lord God. The fear would hold no one back, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, keep praying. Keep praying. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. Somebody, Come on, just a little longer. Just a little longer. Keep praying. Keep praying a little longer. Keep praying a little longer. Lunch away. Lunch away. You'll be fine. Keep praying a little longer. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Fill with your fullness, I pray, Lord God. Fill with your fullness, I pray, Lord God. More of you, more of you, more of you. That's it, church. More of you, more of you, more of you, more of you. There are people in the room who have received a fresh touch of God already. There are some in the room who have been filled with the Spirit for the first time already today. Been filled for the first time already today. Oh, we want more of you. We want more of you. We want all that is of you, Lord God. We want all that is of you. Hallelujah. 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 We want to be excessive in our pursuit of you, Lord God. In our pursuit of you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for what you're doing among us today, Lord God. We thank you for your fullness, Lord God. We thank you for a fresh touch from you, Lord God. We thank you for your fullness, Lord God. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, church, I want to get your attention really quick. I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this. Church, I want you to catch this really quick. I want you to catch this really quick. There are two great places to be in your life with regard to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are two great places to be. The first place to be is that you have been filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a great place to be in your walk with God. But there's another place in your walk with God where there's a great place to be as well, and that is you haven't been filled, but you want it and you're open to it. Both of those places are great places to be in your walk with God. Here's where you don't want to be in your walk with God. You never want to be at a place where you say, I know something's of God, but I don't want it. That's a dangerous place to be. I never want to live in that place. If I don't have it yet, that's one thing. But I want what's of God. If you're seeking God and you desire what's of God, that's always a good place to be, a safe place to be. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't received yet, then you want to live in that place. My friend Steve Rainey is a dairy farmer. And I don't know why you milk the cows at 3 o'clock in the morning, but that's what time they do it for some reason at his farm. But anyway, they milk them more than once a day. And we were in church praying for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Steve left church that day, and he had not been filled with the Spirit yet. But he left still seeking and believing God for the fullness. And the next morning, he got up 3 o'clock in the morning, cup of coffee, walking down to the dairy barn, doing what he always does at 3 o'clock in the morning, walking to the dairy barn, singing praises to God. 3 o'clock in the morning, singing praises to God, walking down to milk the cows, and he told me the testimony later. He said, I'm just walking along, singing with my cup of coffee, going to milk the cows, and I just started worshiping in a language I had never learned before. And God filled him with his Spirit. It's a good place to be, where you just open it. God might fill you with the Spirit at work. God's filled some of you right here in this room. God might fill some of you. God might fill you in your car. God might fill you at home this afternoon. You'd be out walking on the trail, wherever. You say, God, I just want to receive from you. I just want to receive from you. I want to experience your fullness of knowledge. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray if there's anybody here today, Lord God, that they love you, they love Jesus, but they're not so sure they really want all that's of you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd be at work in their life, convicting and drawing them into a full relationship with you, that they will be excessive in their walk with you, Lord God. And for those of us, Lord God, who are seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit today. I pray, Lord God, that in your timing and your sovereignty, that we will all be filled. You said the gift was for everyone. So I believe it for everybody in this room right now, Lord God. For everyone in your church, Lord God, I believe it for us. And I pray for all who have received, Lord God. I pray that this will not simply be an experience in our life, but that we will live in your fullness, Lord God. That we will live in your fullness. That we will be a people of intercession. We will be a people who are passionate in our walk with you, Lord God. I pray that over all of us, over all of us, that we will be excessive in our desire for the things of God. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't you want the things of God? Amen.